Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, May 11th, 2020, the 17th of Iyar, 5780. Hope you're doing well in your part of the world. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you are healthy under this crazy coronavirus, which is still wreaking havoc on many communities around the world. We're going to talk about that and other news here in Israel. Don't forget, you can get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, Joshua Haston, on Twitter at Josh Haston, and on Instagram as well. But before we get to the other news, we're going to go to an old friend of the show, Maurice Hirsch. He is the head of legal strategies for a very important organization, Palestinian Media Watch. They bring the truth about what is being said in the official Palestinian Authority media and Hamas media. They translate into different languages from Arabic so that you can understand what's going on and what is truly being said under the Palestinian Authority and others. Maurice, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Good morning. And the main reason, and I'm going to get to this article here in the Jerusalem Post that I want to talk to you today, is specifically about the funding of terror, the pay-to-slay program. Yesterday, the Jerusalem Post reported that Israel plans to effectively return the tax and terror funds deducted due to the Palestinian Authority's continued monthly payments to terrorists and their salaries. We're talking about 800 million. They're calling it a loan, shekels, that is. An 800 million shekel loan was, I guess, as I don't know if it officially happened, was supposed to be returned to the Palestinian Authority. Now, you yesterday made comments upset about the loan. You called it shameful on multiple levels. You explained the PA can now use Israeli taxpayer money, the money of victims of Palestinian terror, to reward the very same terrorists who murdered Israelis. Maurice, are you telling me here today that Israel, the state of Israel, is actually turning over money which is going towards Palestinian Authority terrorism and is being used against Jews here and Israelis and others in the state of Israel?
So let me give you a quick background, Josh, as, just for you and for your listeners. In 2018, Israel passed a law saying that of the money that Israel collects and gathers and passes over to the Palestinian Authority in accordance with the Oslo Accords, from that money, Israel will deduct a sum that is equivalent to the amount that the Palestinian Authority spent rewarding terrorism in the previous year. That means that for 2018, the Palestinian Authority admitted to spending almost 650 million shekel in rewards to terrorists. Israel then deducted that money from the income that Israel gathers and passes over to the Palestinian Authority. That was done only for 2018, carried out obviously in 2019. As a result of the coronavirus pandemic, the Palestinians have been arguing that they've suffered a tremendous drop in their income, and therefore they are experiencing tremendous financial difficulty to the point where they might potentially even collapse. That's the argument, really the lie that they're selling everyone. And sadly, the Israeli government, which never really liked the law which punished the PA for its terror payments in the first place, specifically, sadly, our Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has decided to now bolster the Palestinian economy and give them 800 million shekel. Now, this isn't the money that was collected from the taxes, and some would possibly erroneously argue that that is their money. Rather, this is our tax money, my tax money that I pay, the tax money that you pay, the income tax that the victims of terrorism pay for their work. Now, that money is being given to the Palestinian Authority without any strings attached. That means they can use it to, as I said, they can use that money to reward the terrorists that murdered Israelis. We ourselves are paying for that same effort. They can use that money to continue the attack on the Prime Minister himself, on the State of Israel, on the soldiers of the IDF in the International Criminal Court. There is no explanation, really. It's not a case of what you see over here, you don't see over there, as they say in Hebrew. It doesn't really translate very well, but it's the idea of, well, when you're outside looking in, you don't understand all of the different discussions that and considerations that have been taken into account. But it's very, very simple. Israel should never be funding the murder, the rewards for the murder of our children. We should never be funding legal cases against ourselves.
It seems so obvious, Maurice, and I know that the argument has been, Israel believes we have to have an address on the other side. We have to talk to somebody, and if it's not the PA, then Hamas will take over. And I don't subscribe to that that rationale because, as you know, the Palestinian Authority is a terror organization. They've carried out thousands and thousands of attacks against Israel, but somehow that becomes the strategy time and time again, where it looks like, and again, you said it was a lie, it looks like the PA is going to collapse, and whether that's the truth or not, you said it's a lie. But even if it is, I mean, my point is, why should we continue to bolster those who have a pay-to-slave program? Why do we continue to do this over and over again? Just when it looks like we actually have some leverage over them, here we are turning over money.
So that's exactly the point, Josh. It's this idea that's been going on, that's really been with us for the last 20 years. It's the conception that it's better to have the moderate Fatah, Palestinian Authority, than Hamas. So let's look at that and discuss that assumption. Is it better to have an organization that for 25 years has been educating its children to hate Jews, to want to kill Jews? Is it better to have an organization that spent billions and billions of dollars of international aid and euro to support the terror reward program? Is it better to have an organization that even while Israel was helping them deal with the corona pandemic, was spreading libels that Jews per se, not soldiers, not part of the occupation, Jews per se, are responsible for the spreading of the coronavirus and blood libels that we haven't seen really since medieval times? How can it possibly be that that is a better alternative to Hamas? Now, Hamas really are no Zionists. They shoot missiles at us. They try to kill our children in the same way. But at least there's an understanding that these people are terrorists. They are Islamic fundamentalist terrorists. They just want to kill everybody. The PA and the conception that the PA is a moderate body is simply erroneous. Now, the reason the Palestinian Authority won't collapse is not because they don't have money to pay for all of the things that they need to support, but rather because the Fatah leadership, the PLO leadership, will never give up and never waive its right to what it calls its right to the best ever achievement of that liberation organized movement. They're never going to give up on their power. It doesn't matter. Yasser Arafat was sitting in the Mukatta in his compound in Ramallah for years, besieged. They still function because they will never give up. It's the Palestinian Authority, for the leaders of the Palestinian Authority, is simply a license to print money. They're all getting rich. And as you've never seen any other real billionaire saying, you know what, take all of my money, I don't want it anymore. Yeah, let's spread it evenly around to everybody. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, Maurice, you working at Palestinian Watch, you know more than most how the Palestinian Authority says one thing in Arabic and then says something totally different when the cameras are on in English. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. That's your whole reason for being the organization at Hamas. As you mentioned, at least they're just open and honest. They say flat out, we want to destroy Israel. We want to kill all the Jews. I mean, obviously, I'm not praising Hamas, but we can thank them for their honesty. And the PA for years and years and years has been lying and pretending to be our peace partners. But here's my problem, okay? The fact that Israel is returning this money, this $800 million, call it what you want, a loan, even if it's not specifically this pay to slay with what we've been withholding, the money's being turned over. But here's why I think, unfortunately, there's some hypocrisy here on our part, sadly. This reported by Arut Shev, Israel National News yesterday, the Coalition for Jewish Values, representing over 1,500 traditional rabbis in matters of public policy yesterday, called upon Joe Biden, who's running for president, the Democratic Party, to withdraw his statement that he would resume funding to the Palestinian Authority despite its ongoing provision of financial reward to the families of terrorists. And here's my problem. We are calling not only this group, but others, Israel, we are calling on the U.S., we are calling on the European Union not to be involved in the funding of pay for slay, the funding of terrorists who get paid on a scale based on how many Jews they murder. We're calling out the others But it seems like we're almost doing the same thing here in Israel. And that's what I can't understand. Is this hypocrisy?
This isn't just hypocrisy, Joshua. Sadly, this is the Israeli government or certain elements within the Israeli government. It's Prime Minister Netanyahu, Moshe Kahlon, the finance minister, and Meir Ben Shabbat, with the agreement, sadly, very, very, very unfortunately, from my point of view, of Naftali Bennett, the defense minister, to provide the Palestinians with the money to undermine everything that Israel has been doing internationally for years. Undermining the president of the United States, saying, we will not give you money if you use that money to fund terrorism. But now Israel's doing it. It's not just hypocrisy. It's much worse than that. It is fundamentally undermining the position of the state of Israel, really, for the last 15 years, 20 years.
So what... So how, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I don't, you know, put it simply, I don't understand. Again, we talked about, you know, we have to have a moderate, we have to this and that, which I don't agree with. But I mean, how can we reverse course here? As we're screaming and shouting in the halls of Europe and the US, and as you just said, fundamentally undermining, you know, our what's in our interests. What can we do?
So I think that there are a few things that can possibly be done. As we're talking, there's a legal challenge of that decision. I'm not sure that I wouldn't necessarily put my faith in Israel's Supreme Court to stop any support that the Israeli government will give to the Palestinian Authority. I just don't think it's in their DNA, even though that decision appears to be lacking true legal basis. The government's arguing that it can do as it sees. There's a law in Israel which says that the government can use taxpayer money in certain different ways, and this is one of the ways that they've chosen to use it. But they ignore that there are three other laws which regulate our financial recognition and financial connection with the PA, and they're breaching all three of those laws. So nonetheless, I don't think that's going to happen. What needs to happen, which unfortunately doesn't happen enough in Israel, is a popular outcry demanding that this decision be rescinded, that this decision really be thrown into the garbage pail of history, because it is so fundamentally wrong to demand that Israelis fund and support the murderers of their children. That's what we need to do.
Well, Maurice, I know this is something you deal with each and every day. I know that you are on top of it, and I hope you'll continue to bring the truth to the masses in terms of what actually is going on here, a very sad situation, which in some camps makes the front page, but often gets pushed to the back when we're dealing with so many other issues here. But this is a serious, serious matter, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today, explaining it to the audience, and really working on this each and every day to get the truth out and make sure people understand what we're talking about here. Maurice Hirsch, head of the legal strategies at Palestinian Media Watch, I want to thank you for your time. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're healthy. Stay safe during these crazy times. And definitely want to follow up on this story as it develops and have you on again in the near future.
Thanks very much, Josh. Have a good day.
Have a great day. Check out Palestinian Media Watch, folks. You can find them very easily on Google. Give me the website, Maurice. I forgot to mention that.
PALWATCH.org.
PALWATCH.org. Go check it out. And if you guys, if you want to ignore the commentary, feel free to ignore it. I'm not telling you to, but if you want to ignore all the commentary, just check out the translations as Arabic is being translated into English, into Hebrew, and see what the other side is saying before you make your decisions on all the issues. See what they're truly saying within the Palestinian Authority when the cameras aren't turned on, when CNN isn't on. Thanks a lot, Maurice. Have a great day.
Have a good day.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Ours is a story filled with both challenge and controversy, but ultimately, it's also a story of hope and redemption. I'm Rav Mike Foyer, and this is The Jewish Story.
Join Rav Mike Foyer for the best Jewish history podcast, The Jewish Story, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
And we are back. Josh Haston here. Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com for Monday, May the 11th, 2020, broadcasting from beautiful Gush Etzion, Israel, 17th of ER 5780 on the eve of Lag BaOmer holiday, which starts this evening, although this year it's going to be somewhat dubbed down as a result of the coronavirus. So no Medurot bonfires in Israel this year. We're not, and as far as I know, we're not having a total lockdown for this minor, call it a minor holiday. For some, it's a major holiday. No total lockdown, but we cannot have the traditional bonfires this year because that would involve people gathering, which is a big no-no as a result of Corona. Speaking of the latest numbers from Israel, unfortunately, since the start of the pandemic here in this country, 252 people have died as a result of the virus. At the same time, you have currently 4,795 who are ill, 65 of them on ventilators in very, very serious condition. 11,430 have recovered from the virus. We are trending in a positive direction. Things are opening here in Israel all over. Each day, it seems, it's hard to even keep up with the news. Each day, a different segment, if you will, a different part of society's opened up. Kids are starting to go back to schools. They're talking about restaurants opening next week, perhaps. Slowly, slowly, things are opening up. I hope it is the right decision. I hope we're doing the right thing. And please God, whether it's here in Israel or around the world, the coronavirus will go away. And again, I've said this, I think, before over the last couple of weeks. I would not be surprised if it is Israel that comes out with the vaccine. Already major developments in terms of the antibodies, which have been discovered here in Israel, ways to treat the virus. Hopefully, please God, soon this pandemic will go away. The New York Times. Wow, what can I say about them? I could say a lot, actually, over the years, the way they've covered Israel. But this may take the cake. Reported here by Fox News and many others, an article was posted by the New York Times. And on Twitter, the headline of the article, which actually was talking about how Israel is using technology and the army to save lives as a result of the pandemic, it said the following. The Israeli army is best known for, quote, pioneering cutting-edge ways to kill people and blow things up. And now Israel's turning its attention to trying to help people with corona, fight the pandemic. The IDF, that's right, the Israel Defense Force, with the word defense in the title, that defends the citizens of this country, Jews, Arabs, and Christians, 24/7, okay, the most moral army in the world as we know, pioneering cutting-edge ways to kill people and blow things up. That's how they describe the IDF. It's like the IDF is a bunch of murderers and is Beavis and Butthead, if you know the show, that we sit around and plan on how to blow things up. So this is a disgrace. This reporting is an outrage. Whoever thought he was being clever in the office of the New York Times who sent out this tweet should be reprimanded, should be fired. The most moral army in the world that does so much for so many people. Again, with the word defense in the title, defending Israelis, Jews, Christians, everybody, Arabs, Muslims, all over this country. And that's how they sum up the IDF and its accomplishments. Finding out ways how we can kill people and blow things up. So this is an article that was written by the bureau chief here in Israel, David Halpfinger. The headline of the article, again, Israeli Army's Idea Lab aims at a new target, saving lives. I mean, that is what the article should be about, but somebody thought that they would be funny on Twitter and accuse Israel of finding ways to kill people and blow things up. So a lot of people taking the New York Times to task for this anti-Israel headline, deservingly so. If you haven't done so yet, let the New York Times know how you feel. Local politics here in Israel, the Amina Party, we're talking about Naftali Bennett's party, issued a formal announcement yesterday saying the party will head to the opposition in the upcoming term. It will not be a partner in the government, which is due to be sworn in this Wednesday. In light of the composition of the government and its policy that emerges as a left-wing government headed by Netanyahu. This is from a statement by Yamina. And in light of the prime minister's blatant disrespect for Yamina and its voting public, the party has decided to serve the public and the opposition in the upcoming term and fight for the national camp from there. So Naftali Bennett, Ayel Shaked, and the others will not be part of the government. There was a lot of backlash, I know, in the communities of Judea and Samaria, thinking Yamina should be in the government. A lot of politics coming into play here. The statement said that they will prepare, Yamina will prepare for the day after Netanyahu, which will come in a year and a half, and produce from the opposition a real alternative, a right that is not ready, a right wing, to be precise here, that is not ready to sell the justice system to the left for personal survival, a right that is not ready to kowtow to Hamas and Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas we're talking about, and a right that is truly committed to development of communities in Judea and Samaria. So that is the logic there by Yamina. It remains to be seen if that was the right move politically, the wrong move politically, but Yamina not joining the Netanyahu / Benny Gantz government. Reported here by the Jewish press, and this happens daily, pretty much, this agricultural terrorism and worse carried out by some of the Arabs who live under the Palestinian Authority. And Arab terrorists arrived with tractors, according to the Jewish press, in a wheat field cultivated by Jewish farmers in the Shiloh area on Sunday morning, began to destroy the field. The Jewish farmer who arrived at the site to prevent damage was hit and run over by one of the tractors, evacuated to Shaarei Tzedek in Jerusalem. One Arab was arrested. So just another example, I hope he's doing well, the Jewish farmer, another example of agricultural terrorism, and in this case taken to another level, when a Jew who is in his field is run over. And again, something like this does not make the mainstream media. We'll call the Jewish press not the mainstream media for our purposes here, but I'm glad they reported it. Unfortunately, they reported it because this, you know, this happens, this scenario. I see it here in Gush Etzion time and time again. We have these incidents, clashes, and agricultural terrorism, which takes place. A lot of this happens over Shabbat when they know that the Jews aren't in the fields. And some of our neighbors, our hostile neighbors, will take advantage of that and chop down trees and whatnot. And that's something else that has to stop. The IDF destroyed the home, reported by Israel National News, of one of the terrorists from the cell that murdered Rina Schnerb in an attack last August at a spring near the community of Dolev. Clashes broke out between dozens of Arabs who burned tires and threw rocks at IDF forces who came to destroy the house. And again, yes, I definitely am in favor of home demolitions, but I mean, here we're talking about, what is it, 9 months after the fact? These things have to happen immediately, and even more so, those who carried out the attack, those who were involved, and those who aided in any way should be, in my opinion, deported from the country. That will send a message that will create a deterrence, I think, more so than the destruction of a home 9 months later. It does have to happen, but if you're going to do it right away. You get approval right away. You carry it out. And I think even greater levels of deterrence can be created if the courts allow so. Lag BaOmer, the holiday which starts tonight, celebrated on the 18th of Iyar, the 33rd day of the Omer. Interestingly here that the information put out on Lag BaOmer was put out by the Knesset, where I found this. Lag BaOmer is a semi-holiday. According to tradition, it was the day on which the plague, get this, the plague that killed 24,000 of Rabbi Akiva's disciples had stopped. So we have seen in ancient times plagues being stopped on Lag BaOmer. Let's hope that the plague, the pandemic we are currently under, stops on this Lag BaOmer. That would be amazing. Lag BaOmer is the date of the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, an amazing Torah scholar from the 2nd century CE, one of the prominent disciples of Rabbi Akiva. He was attributed to writing the Zohar, the Kabbalist work, the preeminent Kabbalist work, I should say. An early tradition determined the burial place of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son in Meron, that's in northern Israel. So for years and years and years, every year in Lag BaOmer, there's a huge party. Hundreds of thousands of people show up to celebrate the life of this great Torah scholar. But unfortunately, because of the corona, there will be no major celebrations in Meron in northern Israel. In fact, Israel National News says that there will be 2,000 police officers deployed to prevent a mass gathering at Meron because of the coronavirus. There'll be several small bonfires permitted, but that's it in terms of Lag BaOmer. And that is going to do it for today. I still wish you a wonderful Lag BaOmer for those who celebrate. It can be a joyous time. Stay home. Have a barbecue. Have something. Do something for Lag BaOmer. Learn some Torah on Lag BaOmer. That is something that I would say should be encouraged. But definitely stay home. Skip the bonfires this year. That's just the reality. We basically, most of us kept to the restrictions or guidelines on Passover and on Independence Day and Memorial Day. We have to do the same for Lag BaOmer as we are opening up things here in Israel, but we are still not done yet with the corona pandemic. That's going to do it for today. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Get in touch with me during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com on Facebook, Joshua Haston. My page is Josh Haston, Israel Advocacy and Journalism, at Josh Haston on Twitter and Instagram as well. Thank you so much to Benjamin Bresky for all the work that you do here at the station, in addition to Tabitha Epstein, everything she does behind the scenes at the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Most importantly, between now and when we speak again, please God, next Monday, everyone out there in the wonderful world of ours, stay healthy and be safe. Shalom, shalom from a beautiful day in Gush Etzion, Israel.
You're listening to the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com, broadcasting the truth and beauty of Israel to the world.